Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
If you would open your Bibles, we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. I want to talk a little this morning about the armor of God and how it helps your spiritual strength. Back in 1917, there was a famous battle for the city of Aqaba. Now, if you've never heard of that city, I don't blame you. Most people haven't. But if you looked at a map of the Middle East, there's a body of water called the Gulf of Aqaba. And at the far north section of this gulf, right where it meets the coast, there is a city of Aqaba. It's actually on the southern tip of modern-day Israel. Well, Aqaba was believed to be impenetrable. On the north, the east, and the west of the city, there's nothing but barren desert. No army could survive. To the south is nothing but ocean. And the city was fortified with guns and heavy artillery and men. Any navy coming up that gulf would be spotted miles away and easily engaged long before they got to the coast. Nobody thought Aqaba could be conquered. That was until 1917 when Lawrence of Arabia, maybe you've heard that name, he mounted his cavalry and he dared to actually ride across the desert. He got to the northern section of the city of Aqaba and invaded from the undefended north. His cavalry actually rode past the very guns designed to rebuff an attack from the south. The point of the story is this: if we're never looking for the danger, we'll never be ready for the attack. There is a spiritual war going on in the world right now. Later in this very section, the Apostle Paul will say in verse 12 that we wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil. There are those in the world, and that means we have an enemy, a very real spiritual enemy. And he's looking for weaknesses in your life and blind spots in your life to use against you. It could be something you struggle with. It could be a temptation you have. It could be a behavior you're inclined towards. Whatever yours is, the enemy is looking for that to use it against you. Do you ever notice how the things that we're weakest with seem to be the very things that pop up all the time in life? I was speaking with a man one time who told me, he said, "Pastor, I've always struggled with ice cream. I love it. It's a love-hate relationship. I love it, but apparently it doesn't love me very much because I was with my doctor the other day, and he said, ice cream is making my heart weak, and so I've got to cut back. But my whole life, I've indulged in ice cream. Every time I go past a parlor, I have to stop in. Every time I see a fast food joint, I have to stop in. I love ice cream," he said. He said, "You know what happened the day I gave it up? They opened a Dairy Queen in my neighborhood." It's a true story. He didn't know what to do. And the truth is, there is an enemy of your faith, and he is looking to put stumbling blocks in your way. He's looking for your blind spots and cracks in your armor, things that you would never, ever look at as a vulnerability. And he's looking at those things to exploit those things to cause you to fail. And what's worse is we all have them. We all have weaknesses. We all have temptations. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, "Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing," he says, "but the flesh is weak." Every one of us has flesh. Every one of us has an area of our life where not as strong as we would like to be. Or maybe it's an area where we give in more often than we would prefer. No one is perfect. Everyone has holes in the character. When I worked in the window and door industry, very often when we installed windows and doors, it was in a scenario where we had to worry about water. And it used to be thought that you would waterproof these installations, but over time, what we had learned was there is no such thing because waterproof requires perfection. Any pinhole, any pinprick, and the whole system is compromised. Instead, we went to something called water management, which basically says we recognize the threat is there, we recognize imperfection is there, and we're going to do something different to deal with the threat. Well, that's how people are. On our own, we're not perfect. And on our own, we have weaknesses. And any pinprick the enemy can use to try to exploit against us. You know, throughout this series, we've been talking about faithfulness in life and what that means. And we've discussed humility and unity and service and sacrifice. And the truth is, under our own power, not one of us will meet those standards perfectly. You remember Adam in the Garden of Eden. Before they sinned and ate from the tree of knowledge, they were perfect. There was no temptation in their world. There were no vices in their world. Eden was free of all the influence that we deal with every day. And yet the very moment he sinned and fell from God, the Bible tells us he ran from God and he hid himself from God. That is the nature of people. We run from God. We hide from God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, no one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. And so if we're relying on our own strength to be faithful in life, we will always be frustrated. We'll always be disappointed. We'll always feel defeated because no one is perfect. But if, on the other hand, we're resting in God's strength for our life and his power, and he is our protector and he is our defender and God is our savior. Then in the words of Isaiah 54, no weapon fashioned against you shall stand. The Lord said in that very verse, your vindication is from me, declares the Lord, because there is no penetrating his character. He has no weakness. He has no flaw. He has no blind spot. It isn't in his nature. James tells us in chapter 1 of his letter that God cannot be tempted with sin. And that's the type of stuff that Paul is talking about as he closes this letter to the church at Ephesus. It's an encouragement or a motivation, if you will, to lean on the strength of God in life. Notice what he begins as we close out this book in chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, he writes, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. You know, sometimes when we're reading the Bible, It's very easy if you're in a studying mode to get caught so much up in looking at the details that we miss the whole meaning. We miss the forest for the trees, in other words. Well, in this case, notice how everything we just read discusses difficulty. In other words, it is hard to live a faithful life. If it wasn't, Paul wouldn't talk about standing firm, and he wouldn't talk about armor in your faith. He wouldn't have to say in verse 10, be strong in the Lord, if it wasn't hard to begin with. And that's the point. Living a faithful life is hard. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to eternal life, and few find it. And that is no joke. That's a very real part of life, especially when it means that our kids will miss out on stuff because it comes in between them and God, and you as the parent have to make that decision because they're children and they can't make it themselves. Or maybe you will have to choose between being faithful in your worship and a job that you may be at. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says not to neglect the fellowship. Well, that's all well and good when business is closed on Sunday or your schedule is Monday through Friday. But what happens when the schedule changes? What happens when the needs of the company change and you're in a position to choose? What happens when your family stops inviting you to functions because you're a Christian and they're not? And they don't want to hear all this Jesus stuff. They've heard about it your whole life. They've heard about it since you came to faith. Every conversation is something about praising God. And you know what? Little by little, you notice you weren't invited to that birthday. You weren't invited to that party. That happens in life. It's very real. Jesus dealt with that very thing. It says in John chapter 1, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. It says just 6 chapters later, not even his brothers believed in him. Whatever your situation is in life, understand that God sees your struggle. And he understands the struggle is real. And the pressure from the world is real. He understands what you're dealing with. And as fun as it is to talk about the armor of God and the shield of faith and the sword of truth, the reality is, the big picture here is, it wouldn't be there if it wasn't hard. And so you will have difficulty in your faith. But, and this is the second thing, you have unity with God. Notice how Paul says in verse 10, to be strong in the Lord. He says in verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God. In verse 13, he says, take up the whole armor of God. You might struggle, but you will not struggle alone. You're united with God, and through that connection, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said it himself in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He knows he couldn't do it on his own, but through the power of Jesus Christ, he could do anything he was brought to. Do you remember the story of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee and how they went into this boat and they got halfway across and they struggled against this storm? It was the worst storm they had ever seen. They grew up on that sea. They were fishermen there. They knew all about the weather. They had seen waves. This was not new, but this storm was different. And no matter how much they tried and how hard they struggled under their own power, they couldn't make an inch. You know what I love about that story is they were not in that storm because of anything they did wrong. They were in that storm because they were obedient, because they were faithful, because they went where the Lord told them to go, and they still found difficulty, and more difficulty than they could overcome on their own. And then Jesus shows up, and with a single word, the storm subsided. You remember the story of Samson in the Old Testament, a man who was so strong, he single-handedly defeated 1,000 Philistine soldiers. A man so strong that he took down the very temple that held up their false religion. When God was with Samson, there was nothing he couldn't do. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, then who can be against us? You know, I talk to so many people who are so frustrated with life. And I find often they're that frustrated because no matter what they do, they can't seem to get ahead at all. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you get a little bit of extra money, finally two nickels to rub together, and then you know what? Something breaks. The hot water heater goes out, the car needs new brakes or new tires, or some unexpected expense comes popping up. Maybe you finally start feeling better, and then you know what? It's another cold, another flu, another sniffle comes around. You barely get a handle on life, and something else comes along to knock you down. You ever been there? A lot of people have, where we can never seem to catch a break. And people say that, I can't seem to get ahead. You know, the problem I often find is not that they've done anything wrong. It isn't even that they're dealing with more than what most people deal with. It's that they're fighting under their own strength. And on our own, under our own strength, we will be outmatched. We will be outgunned. We will be outmaneuvered. You're facing a determined enemy. And he will cross a desert to attack you from a blind spot you never considered. And there's no way to defend against that. We cannot watch all the angles all the time. And so Paul says, don't even try. Be strong, verse 10, in the Lord. You know, in Proverbs 18, it puts it this way, the Lord is a strong tower. And that's the idea here. It's a military strength. It's the idea that when we go into God, we're going into a tower, that we're surrounded by the strength of the fortress. The psalmist put it this way, the Lord is my refuge and the Lord is my strength. Paul told the young pastor Timothy to be strengthened by the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And that's the idea here, that we give up trying to be strong on our own. We give up trying to watch all the angles and fight all the battles. You know, some of those battles aren't even yours to fight. And instead, we become strong in the Lord. We seek refuge in Him. And yet, how many times, rather than giving everything up to God, do we simply try to add Him to what we're already doing? The idea that somehow we're a team, that God will do his part and I'll do my part and we'll come together in the middle and his plus mine is better than mine alone. And so we'll take this combined effort and we'll attack the problem. You know, the issue with that kind of thinking is no matter how much you may try to just add God to whatever it is you can do, any team is only as strong as its weakest link. And when we rely on our ability plus God's, we become the weakest link. And it limits what God can do in our lives. That's why Paul says, give it up. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. He never says, add it to what you have, but rather give up what you have and go into the strength of the Lord. Because the very moment a soldier enters the tower, he submits to the strength of the structure. Everything that fortress has becomes all he rests in. The strength of the brick and the mortar and everything surrounding him. The soldier doesn't stand up and try to hold up the wall. He stands back and lets the fortress do its work. And so Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Which brings us to our next point. You will have difficulty. You have unity. But when it comes to living a life in faith, you also have a responsibility. God will give you the strength, but you've got to stand. He will give you the courage, but you will have to face the challenge. He will win the war, but you will have to fight the battle. One author put it this way, God will give us strength to work our legs, but we must be willing to make them stand. Notice how Paul says, to be strong in the Lord. Verse 11, he puts it this way, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual forces of evil, he says later. Verse 13, take up the armor of God. Verse 14, stand firm, therefore. Everything here is a call to action. It's a command to move. Jesus didn't say, sit where you are and let people come to you. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Everything about our faith is a command to go and to do and to take action. Some of the people who are the angriest at God are often the very same people who think he will solve all their problems, that he will fight all their battles. Maybe someone told them he would, Maybe they listened to some preacher on TV who said, you know, if you just send in your $100, God will fix that car for you. If you just send in your $50, he'll let you borrow your neighbor's. And they listened to that stuff. Or maybe there was someone in their life who said, God will fix all of this if you just come to him. And they believe it. And they come to God and they find out not only do they still have their broken car, not only are the bills still piled on the table, they didn't just miraculously disappear, not only are all the same problems there, but now, you know what, as a Christian in an unbelieving world, they've got all kinds of new ones. Jesus never said it would be easy. He said in John 16, in the world you will have tribulation. But then he goes on to say, take heart, because I have overcome the world. Just because Jesus has won the war and will win the battle doesn't mean you will never have to fight. One of the hardest things that a lot of people wrestle with is the idea that just because God is fighting for them, it doesn't mean they can check out of life. One of the marks of a faithful person is the responsibility to grow in their faith. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it says to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. In John chapter 3, it says, whoever believes will not perish. In John 15, Jesus said, abide in me, and I will abide in you. All of this requires that the person is involved and participating in their spiritual life. God might have parted the Red Sea for Israel, but you know, they had to walk across. He gave them the land of Canaan, but they had to go in and fight. And the same will be true in your life. God will provide you the victory, but you will be called to participate in the effort. Notice how everything that we're talking about and all of this in verse 6 about the armor of God, or chapter 6 about the armor of God, is proactive. In other words, it's something we do. He says in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. Verse 13, therefore take up the armor of God. Verse 14, stand. Verse 16, take up the shield. It's all a call to action. Do you want to know what God wants for your life? You've got to be surrounded in truth. Do you want the confidence that you are making the right choices? You've got to be wrapped in righteousness. It's pretty hard to make a positive decision with negative whispers in your ear all the time. Do you want to know that you're going in the right direction? You've got to walk in the shoes of Jesus Christ. Do you want the courage to stand up to challenges you'll face and the confidence that you will overcome them? You need the shield of faith. Do you want to know how to respond to an attack? You've got to know your Bible. You've got to carry that two-edged sword. Do you remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was tempted by the enemy? And he brought him to a cliff and he said, throw yourself off this cliff because it's written that he'll send his angels concerning you. And before that, he said, you're hungry, Jesus. Why don't you turn one of these rocks into a loaf of bread? You have the power, you have the ability. And in each time, Jesus responded and he said, it's also written, you will not tempt the Lord. It's also written that man will not live by bread alone. He knew the word and he resisted the attack. Now think of that circumstance and compare it to Eve in the garden when the enemy came to her and asked the question the world is still asking today, did God really say? And she had no idea. She gives a wrong answer and because of that she's tempted into sin. You want the confidence that your relationship with God is enough? You've got to put on the helmet of salvation. That talks about your mind, your brain, your intellect. You know, ours is not a faith based on feelings. Now, you wouldn't know that by a lot of modern day Christians these days who talk all about their feelings all the time. But you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to feel our way through faith. It tells us to know. It tells us to look for the truth and to have the knowledge and the confidence. In 1 John chapter 5, it says that these things were written that you may know you have eternal life. Not feel you have it, but the confidence that you know it, the helmet of salvation. So you will have unity with God, but you also have a responsibility to God to be involved in your spiritual life. So there's difficulty in life, no doubt. This is a hard world. There's unity with God. There's a responsibility to God. And finally, as we close, we have a priority with God, and that is a priority to pray. Notice what he says in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times. You know, you will never find a faithful person in the Bible who didn't pray. You will never find a person in the Bible who overcomes adversity in life through the power of God who didn't pray. It is the cornerstone of the Christian's relationship with the Lord. It's communication. It's conversation. It undergirds everything else we have. All relationships are that way, by the way. Imagine if you had a friend you never spoke with. You wouldn't be very friendly with one another. In 1 Thessalonians, it says to pray without ceasing, to always be in an attitude of communion with God. Let me ask you a question. If you were to put it on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think your spiritual life is going? How strong is your armor? Could it be stronger? Is it weaker than you would like? Or are you right where you want to be? Now take that answer and ask yourself this question. How's your prayer life? How well do you communicate with the Lord? Is it a strong prayer life, a weak prayer life? Would you like it to be better? And then what you do is you ask yourself, how similar are these two answers? My guess is they will be almost identical, because prayer is the backbone of every person's relationship with God. And therefore, it is prayer that makes our armor stronger. James told us in James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Communicate with the Lord. There's no doubt about it. We live in a difficult world to have faith. It's hard. Everywhere we look, there are morals being compromised. Unrighteous behavior is championed. Godly living is ridiculed. If you make it known that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you take this book called the Bible seriously, that you spend time reading it and studying it and applying it, you will be insulted and mocked and ridiculed. And worse than that, there will be an active effort to make you fail, always looking for the weak spots, always looking for the areas you're not able to watch. And on our own, we're not much of a match for that. We can't look at all the angles. None of us is perfect. Something somewhere will get through, and it will be in an area we're not prepared. But if we put on the armor of God, we will step into the strength of Jesus. We become a champion of Christ. That's something that no arrow will pierce, no blade will penetrate, and no enemy will defeat. And so Paul ends this letter by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.